Ladies and gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. It is written, and ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood. It is written, for the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants, and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Will you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did myself sovereign die, would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing, cleansing flood.
Oh, God is just a prayer away.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this message from Exodus 12 entitled, The Lamb of God. Pharaoh had commanded all the male babies of Israel to be cast into the river. Now it was payday. All the firstborn of the Egyptians were to be slain when God passed over the land the night of the institution of the Passover. We must take notice here that America has outdone Pharaoh in the abortion laws. It is important that I remind you at this time, payday is coming. Now the lamb was to be without blemish, a male 1 year old. The whole assembly shall kill it in the evening. Take the blood of the lamb, strike it on the door post and on the upper door post. God said, it will happen at midnight, and I will smite the firstborn of both man and beast. The blood shall be a token upon the houses where you are. When I see the blood of the Passover lamb, I will pass over you. Ladies and gentlemen, it came to pass even as the Lord declared. On that midnight, the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. What happened on that night in Egypt is a picture of the coming event of the appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. when he comes again in judgment. Notice the similarity of the two events. It happened at midnight. The judgment of God will fall on the sinner at the most unexpected time. Jesus said, "It is at midnight when they heard the cry, 'Behold, the bridegroom cometh.'" The judgment fell upon every classification of people, from Pharaoh to the people in the dungeon, from the members of Congress, the Supreme Court, to the dog catcher of your county, from the Hollywood star as he receives the Oscar, to the usher in the theater, from the billionaire to the person who works for a minimum wage, from the liberal professor in the university to the high school dropout, from the person who lives in the mansion to the person who is homeless on the street, no classification of sinner will be exempted. Then remember also, a great cry was heard throughout the land when the judgment fell upon them. The darkness of the hour did not conceal them. There won't be any place on this earth or in space to hide. John tells us all the tribes of the earth shall mourn because of him. In the book of Hebrews we read, "Judgment is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord." And again, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. This, in brief, is the story of the offering of the Passover lamb. In the Gospel according to John, John pointed Jesus out as the Lamb of God when he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Now there are many similarities in the Passover lamb and the Lamb of God, even the Lord Jesus Christ. We have time to mention only a few. First, notice the selection of the lamb. A lamb 1 year old without blemish was to be selected. A lamb was selected for each household. Evidently, the slaying of the lamb was tied in with each household. It is the home that is emphasized. God wants to see each home covered with the blood of the lamb both then and now. I heard a theology professor say many years ago that society walks on two legs, the church and the home. And when one of those legs is broken, the church is crippled. Ladies and gentlemen, these are days when more homes are broken than ever before. I heard the following unbelievable conversation recently on television. A woman was obviously pregnant, and the interviewer asked her if she was married. The woman was not insulted by that remark at all. She graciously replied that she was married. There was a time when such a question would have been the grossest insult, but not now. What a contrast this was to the statement of Paul to Timothy when he said he remembered the unfeigned faith that dwelt first in his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. The news carried the story a few years ago, I've mentioned it several times, of the death of the former husbands of a husband of a famous actress in a plane crash. The picture showed three or four former husbands in attendance at the funeral, like one big happy family. I mentioned that to a preacher friend of mine and then said, "Look at this." He said, "Why, they live like a bunch of dogs." Ladies and gentlemen, is there any better description of the attitude of thousands today concerning marriage? God is definitely concerned about the ongoing of the family. Then notice the examination of the lamb. The lamb was to be selected on the 10th day of the month and kept for the 14th day of the month. By this time, they could observe if it was without blemish. This reminds us that the Lamb of God was examined thoroughly. The Lamb of God came into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. Then for 4 days he was examined, Monday through Thursday. They looked him over and tried to find the flaw. Question after question after question was asked. Who gave thee this authority? Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar? Whose wife shall she be? What is the greatest commandment in the law? Art thou the king of the Jews? What is truth? Answerest thou nothing? Hearest thou not what these are saying? I adjure thee by the living God that you tell us whether thou art the Christ. Question after question after question. Is there some flaw in the Lamb? None can be found. Judas testified, I have betrayed innocent blood. Pilate said, I find no fault in him. Pilate's wife told him, Lee, have thou nothing to do with this righteous man. Perhaps the statement that sums up his life on earth best of all is when Jesus himself publicly declared, Which of you convicteth me of sin? There were no takers. Hear Paul as he declares, He was tempted in all points, like as we are, and yet without sin. The Lamb was perfect. Now let us consider and notice the killing of the Lamb. The whole assembly was to kill the Lamb. Although there were hundreds of lambs, maybe thousands of lambs that were slain, it speaks of the killing of the Lamb as though it is a singular thing. The whole assembly shall kill the Lamb. This is what happened in the slaying of the Lamb of God. It was singular. There was only one Lamb, and it too was killed by the whole assembly of the human race. Who crucified Jesus anyway? It was the Jews, and it was the Gentiles. It was Annas, the high priest. It was Pilate, the Roman governor. Who crucified Jesus? We all did it. The weight of your sins and mine was on the hand that held the hammer that drove the nails through the hands of the feet of Jesus. You are a murderer. You killed Jesus. Someone asked why I make such a fuss about the killing of one Jew 2,000 years ago and not about the 6 million Jews who died in the gas chamber in World War II. Well, the 6 million Jews were killed by a handful of men, but that one Jew was killed by all the billions of people who have ever lived. Not only was he slain by all of us, but also the blood of that one Jew who died on the cross was the blood of the Son of God, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. To save a number that no man can number from the Holocaust of hell. Notice how they were in a hurry to get the killing done. They were to kill the Lamb and eat it, roasted, and to eat it in haste. Their shoes were to be on, and their loins girded. Their staff was to be in their hand. The Lamb of God also was crucified in great haste. Many times today, a trial can drag on for years. Sometimes continuances are made and some of the witnesses die. In the trial of Jesus, there was no such delay. They could not get to it fast enough. There was no need for some noted defense attorney to hire for the trial. They did not even need to wait until the next morning. The trial was held at night, and at 9 o'clock the next day, Jesus was already on the cross. After they got him on the cross, they were in a hurry. A hurry to get him down. Someone noticed that the next day was the Sabbath and got Pilate to have their legs broken, to have them off the cross before the Sabbath, lest they defile themselves. They did not break the legs of Jesus. He was already dead. They were in a hurry. A hurry to get the job done. We only wish that people could be in just as big a hurry to accept the Lord as their Savior as they were to crucify him. And we wish that people were in as big a hurry to get the message out to a lost and dying world as they were that day to crucify Jesus. The world is dying and going to hell, and the church is dragging its feet. Now notice the sign of the Lamb. The 13th verse of Exodus 12 says that the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. The blood was to be applied to the two sides and the top of the door. The blood formed the sign of the cross. The true sign, the only sign of the cross. The blood had to be applied in a specified way. It would not be enough to collect the blood in the basin or put it in a bucket on the porch that was specified, but the hyssop must be dipped in the blood and the blood struck on the three places. To put the blood on the front steps or the front porch was not enough. It must be applied. When the Lord passed over the land, he was not looking for Israel or for the Egyptians. He was looking for the blood. The blood made all the difference. Now consider the prominent place the blood of Christ has in the salvation of man. Here are at least 8 statements about the blood of Christ. Number 1, this is my blood of the covenant which is poured out for many unto remission of sins. Number 2, much more then being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath. Number 3, take heed therefore unto yourselves to feed the church of God that he hath purchased with his own blood. Number 4, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Number 5, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Number 6, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. Number 7, these are they that have come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Number 8, unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his blood, and made us to be kings and priests unto his God and Father, unto him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Evidently, from these verses, the Lord considers the blood of Christ of supreme importance, even though some scholars may call it slaughterhouse religion. Verse 22 of Exodus 12 says, they were not to leave the house that night until after the Passover was over. They were to stay behind the blood. They were not safe anywhere else. This is a warning to the Christians today. Stay behind the blood. Remember what the Apostle Peter says? For if after they have escaped the defilements of this world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, it is worse for them than at the first. For it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog turning again unto its own vomit, and the sow that was washed wallowing in the mire. Think of that. The dog turning to its own vomit. People feed their bodies with vitamins and eat all manner of nutritious food to feed their body and then feed their souls with the vomit of pornography and some of the television sitcoms. Then, like hogs, they get down and wallow in it. Note that the blood was not to be applied to the threshold. The blood was not to be trampled on. Consider, too, that when the Lord passed over the land that night, that no family in the land of Egypt escaped. Verse 29 says that every house from Pharaoh to the man in the dungeon was a loser of a firstborn. Even the firstborn of the beast was taken. The Egyptians worshiped certain animals, the crocodile, the bull, many others. to kill the firstborn of animals was to kill the gods of the Egyptians. While we do not worship animals today, as the Egyptians did, it does seem that America is an idolatrous nation when you consider the worship of sports events. It should give us pause and make us wonder when we consider that many of the teams in America we worship have the names of animals, such names as tigers, lions, colts, cats, eagles, birds, dogs, dolphins, bears, rams, longhorns, cubs, and many others. Consider also how the blood must be applied in the prescribed way. Paul said in Romans, the 6th chapter, that as many of us as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ. When we are baptized, it is there that we make the sign of the cross. The only way to make that sign, the blood, is not to be trampled on. Paul says in Hebrews 10 that when we neglect the assembling of ourselves together, we trample underfoot the body of the Son of God and count the blood of the covenant, whereby we were sanctified in an unholy thing and have done despite to the Spirit of grace. When the Lord passes over the land on that great day, there will be none who will escape who are not under the blood. In that day, all from Pharaoh to the man in the dungeon did not escape. And when the Lord comes again, none will escape who are not under the blood. That blood is our token, too. The Lord will be looking for the sign of the blood. Consider, last of all, the memorial of the Lamb. Verse 14 tells us that this feast shall be unto you as a memorial, that Passover feast. When your children ask why you keep the feast, tell them it is a sacrifice of the Lord's Passover who passed over the house of the children of Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, the Lord's Supper on the Lord's Day is our memorial of our Passover lamb too. The Scripture tells us Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed. Paul tells us, as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye proclaim the Lord's death till he come. By the taking of the Lord's Supper, we preach a sermon in action. We proclaim, as we take the Lord's Supper, that Jesus died for us and arose from the dead, as we bow our heads to eat the loaf. And when we raise our heads and look up as we drink the cup, we say that he will come again on the clouds with power and great glory. We proclaim that message in action. We proclaim the message to ourselves that Jesus died on the cross for us. We also proclaim that message to others. We tell them as we partake of the Lord's Supper that Jesus died for you also. And not only that, but we proclaim the message to Almighty God. When we take the Lord's Supper, we tell him who sent his Son to die for us and thank him for this marvelous gift. We proclaim the Lord's death till he come. And we also proclaim that message of salvation as we partake of the Lord's Supper to the devil himself. As we take the loaf and as we drink the cup, the devil sees us. And we are reminding him of the promise of God in the Garden of Eden. We remind the devil where God said, "The seed of the woman shall bruise the head of the serpent, and it shall bruise thy heel." What a blessing it is for the Christian on the first day of the week to observe the memorial concerning the smashing of the head of the serpent. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard another God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at this same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The God is Just a Prayer Away broadcast address, Ed Bousman, B-O-U-S-M-A-N, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Until next week at this same time, don't forget to tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.